We are in a campaign that we've titled Redeemed. Everybody say Redeemed.
Redeemed.
Oh, you can do better than that. Say Redeemed.
Redeemed.
And when the Lord spoke to me about this back in October, it was a big leap of faith for me because I knew that we would be facing some things in our lives that a lot of times we don't like to talk about and like to face. But I promise you, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to make it a campaign. And what I mean by that is that we want this so rooted in who we are that we are able to be comfortable with our failures and our shortcomings, and that we're able to say, Lord, here, you have access to this to change me and to redeem me. The word literally redeem means the setting free from captivity, buying back something lost or stolen. And let me just tell you something. When you were born into sin, we all have a sin nature. The enemy scarred us and skewed us with our sin nature. And when Jesus saved us and we repented of our sins, I'm telling you, he started this redemption process. And every member of Hill City is on a journey to be like Jesus. Everybody say amen. I want to be like Jesus. And some of us are new in our faith, and some of us have been walking with the Lord for many years. But you need to understand, in this walk, Jesus loves us so much that he wants to redeem us in these areas of brokenness and sinfulness. And you and I, if we'll just learn to submit to that process of redemption, he will redeem us from the curse. In fact, Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 says it like this. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us. Everybody say redeem us. So he gave himself up to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people who are his very own. He redeemed us. He saved us on that cross. He died so that you and I could have eternal life with him. But he loves us beyond the place of just getting us to heaven. He wants to redeem us and make us like him on this earth. Are you with me today? Say yes. And he goes on to say, those who are eager to do what is good. Are you eager to do what is good? Say yes. Amen. I'm in the house of the Christians today. And so our campaign verse for this entire campaign is found in Psalms 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. So when you start telling your story, it does a couple of things. It solidifies your truth that, you know what? I'm not that person anymore. God set me free from being a pervert. I'm not that. And as you tell your story, it solidifies that. And the second thing that it does, it encourages someone who's going through the same thing. And they go, if God can do it for her, if he can do it for him, he can do it for me. And this is why it's critical. The Bible says in the last days, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And this is why so many of you are still struggling, because you never testify. You never tell your story about how God helped you in that area. Because you and I both know the moment we start telling our story, now we're accountable to live it out. And so that's where the lie of the enemy comes, that you're not good enough. You won't be able to consistently, live it out. Friend, that's a lie, because you have the power of God flowing through your veins. The same spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in you. And when you start telling your story, he starts empowering you to overcome. Are you with me today? Say yes. Come on now. So today, are you ready? Last week we did, we really dealt with addictions. Hey, were you blessed by Eddie James and their team? And wasn't that phenomenal? And I'm believing that every one of us got redeemed from addictions, whether it be alcohol or prescription drugs or nicotine. We don't need that. We are redeemed from that. That's who we are, the redeemed of the Lord. The week before we talked about broken marriages. And today, you ready? We're going to be talking about stealing. Everybody say stealing. Well, old Bujo, he decided he needed to go to church and confess to the priest. He's a good Catholic boy. And so Bujo, he went and he sat in the confessional with the priest, and he said, Father Landry, I need to confess some things. He said, I got to be honest. I feel so guilty, so ashamed. He said, I've been stealing all this wood from that new job site where they building that new mall over there. And Father Landry said, well, how much you talking about? He said, Father, the reason I did it is, I got these boards on my porch, And they had holes in them, and people, I didn't want people to fall down and break their legs, so I replaced all of that. And he says, oh, okay, that's not so bad. He goes, well, but also, you know, Marie, she'd been wanting an addition to the house, and so I also added an addition to the house, you know, an extra bedroom or two, and then, you know, my dog, you know, he ain't never had no dog house, so I took a little bit, and I built the dog house, and Father Gidry's like, now hold on just a second. That's a whole lot. He said, well, and I need to also tell you, you know, my truck ain't never had no covering. And so I went ahead and built a garage for my truck. And Father Gidry's like, now let me tell you something right now, son. You need to do some repenting right here and right now for all the stealing you've been doing. And he says, and so he said, Boudreaux, I'll tell you what I'm going to have you do. He says, I'm going to need you to go and make a novena. Boudreaux looked at him kind of foolishly, and he says, you do know what a novena is, don't you? And Boudreaux said, no, Father, but if you got the plans for it, I got all the wood to build it. I can tell you that right now. Help us, Jesus. In the United States, someone steals another person's property every 3 seconds. And to define stealing, in case you're a little confused, stealing is the secret taking of another's property without the owner's knowledge or permission. Put simply, to steal is to take something that doesn't belong to you. So I don't really do that. I don't steal. Well, let me help you really qualify stealing. Stealing is when we underpay on our taxes. It's stealing when we make false claims about the disability or the Social Security. It's stealing when we fill out our time cards falsely for work that we didn't really do. It's stealing is calling in sick when really you just wanted an extra day off. It's stealing when you and I fail to put in a full day's work, but yet we charge our employer for a full day's work. It's stealing when we're surfing the internet for hours at a time while we're on the job. It's stealing when when the employer demands longer hours than was agreed upon. That's stealing. In fact, according to some estimates, as much as 1/3 of all products cost goes to cover various forms of stealing that occur on its way to retail stores. Do you catch that? So much of the expense of that thing that you're buying on the shelf, the producers of it have already built in the cost of all the thievery that's going to experience from the time they make it to the shipping to someone stealing a truckload of it to people taking it off the shelves without paying for it. They're going to get their money, and the way they're going to do it is just raise the price of it to incorporate the thieves and the people who steal stuff. And so at the end of the day, you're stealing from big pharma or big companies. You just say, well, it's not really hurting anybody. Actually, it is, because they pass on that cost to us, the consumer. Most people don't think about it like that. Stealing is when you're false advertising something and false packaging something, and I've had that happen a bunch. Stealing is when a salesperson exaggerates the value of the product. Stealing is a credit card company charging 20 to 27% on your credit card when you're just trying to pay off something. Stealing is plagiarism. Stealing is identity theft. It's stealing when you violate copyrights. It's stealing when you cheat on a test. In fact, in the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, we find the Ten Commandments, and the eighth commandment that God commanded the children of Israel, and thereby us as his people, he says it very clearly, you shall not steal, period. He doesn't get into a bunch of explanation about it. He's like, listen, my people Israel, for you to be able to have a community, for you to be able to survive life, one of the commandments that I'm going to give is that you don't steal from one another, that you don't steal. But all throughout the Bible, we have these crazy examples of people of God stealing. It's crazy. They knew the word of the Lord. They knew the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, do not steal. They knew it, but they still had this tendency to steal and to take. In one episode in Joshua chapter 7, they were in the midst of trying to get into their promised land, and there was a little group of people that they had to go to war against, and God told them, you don't take anything. You don't take anything. You don't steal from them. We're going to defeat them, but you don't take any gold. You don't take any silver as you're defeating them. You leave it alone. It's not yours to touch. And one man and his family by the name of Achan, they kept back some of the gold as they were raiding this group, and they were fighting this big war against them. And he hid it under his tent. And the next time they went out to battle, many, Thousands of Israelites died because God said, I took my hand off of you because you disobeyed me and you stole from that other group of people and I told you not to. And the people of Israel said, who has done the stealing? And they found it was Achan, and they literally killed him and his whole family in the scripture because you shall not steal. You broke the word of the Lord. We see another time with old Jezebel. You've heard that name before in the scriptures. In 1 Kings chapter 21, there was a righteous man named Naboth. N-A-B-O-T-H. He was a righteous man. He had this piece of property that was beautiful. Well, the king at the time, he literally wanted that piece of property, King Ahab. And his wife, Jezebel, wanted to get it for him because he wanted it. But Naboth wasn't selling it. He loved his property. It was a beautiful piece of property. So what Jezebel did is she went into that little town as the king's wife, and she found some wicked people, and she had them lie on Naboth, and they brought him in front of the courts and said, he's been cursing God. He's a Satan worshiper. And so they killed the guy and then sold his property, and Jezebel bought the property for her husband, Ahab. She stole it from him, and then we find out what happens with Ahab. He ends up dying a martyr's death. I mean, he gets destroyed, and so does Jezebel because they had stolen. There's one of the most impactful passages that God dealing with his people about stealing is in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, we'll put it on the screen for you. God is closing out the Old Testament time frame. The book of Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. In Malachi chapter 3, God starts whooping up on his people Israel. He starts correcting them and rebuking them. And look what he says. He says, will a man rob God? Are you crazy enough to rob me? He says. Yet you rob me. Israel, you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? And he responds, in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And then he offers this sweetness. He comes back like a good father does and says, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there'll not be room enough for it. He says, listen, Israel, you've been holding back the tithes. You have not been tithing from your income. You've not been taking the 10%, the first fruits, and bringing it into the storehouse, into the church body. You haven't done it. You're robbing me. And he literally says, and so therefore you'll be under a curse. Now we know in the new covenant relationship, God doesn't curse us. Everybody say amen. We are not cursed. He put that curse on Jesus on that cross, and we are the favored of the Lord. He rebukes us, he corrects us, he spanks us, but he doesn't curse us. Everybody say amen. That's good teaching. But the principle still stays in play. When we hold back the tithe, he says, literally, you're robbing from me. And he's telling Israel, you're taking from me. I'll never forget, as a young Christian, when I came across this passage of scripture, I was like, whoa, God. Because I would just give a little bit if I felt good about it. And God literally called it stealing. I was like, Lord, I don't want to steal from you or anyone else. I want to be righteous. Because you got to understand, I grew up, and I'll talk about it here a little later in this message. I grew up as a poor kid who stole, because you had it and I didn't, and so I felt justified to steal it. But once I became a Christian and I saw these passages of scripture, I really struggled with, oh my goodness, I got to get free from this whole stealing thing. And let me just kind of give you some examples on why people steal. Write these down. These will help you. The first reason I believe that we steal, even as Christians, is because we have a poverty mentality. A poverty mentality. And that is the mentality that I don't have, but you do. I came from poor or poverty, and you don't. You have money, and so it's okay for me to take from you because I'm a have-not, and you are a have. And this is a mentality. And even though I'd become a Christian, and even though I was loving Jesus, I still had a poverty mentality. I'll never forget when I moved to Dallas and I started working with Gary Simons. And Gary Simons, the Lord used him to help me. And he literally identified it. I wasn't stealing anymore. I got set free from stealing. But I still had a poverty mentality. And so I wasn't a good giver because I can't give anything because I've worked so hard for this. And I actually saw money and resources as something I had to hold on to. And I couldn't let it get away. And if I gave too much of it away, then I wouldn't have enough for me and my family. It was a poverty mentality. And I'll never forget, Gary Summons looked me in the eye and said, you got a poverty mentality. We need to break that. Money and resources, all they are is an opportunity for God to use that to change lives. And he says very clearly to you, Adam, that he'll take care of you, but you have to be free from this poverty thing, that you got to hold on to it, and you can't let anybody get access to it. And you got to be careful, because what if something bad happens and you don't have enough money in the bank? And I'll never forget, he and April prayed over Jamie and I. Something broke over us, and I'm telling you, money no longer owned me, I owned it. It became a tool to bring forth the glory of God in the earth. But I had to get free from it. And when people steal, it's because many times they have a poverty mentality. They're like, I'm the have not, so I can justify taking from those who have, because I don't have enough for me. Here's the second reason I believe people steal, especially Christians who are still stealing, and that is because they have trust issues. Everybody say trust issues. And they literally are struggling to trust the Lord. Last time I read the Holy Scripture, he literally says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Let all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Last time I read the Holy Scripture, he says that I will provide for all your needs according to my riches and glory. God will provide for you. You do not have to take from somebody else. You do not have to live under this assumption that if you don't do it all exactly right, you won't have enough for your family. God will meet you at your place of trusting him. Amen. Where you trust him at, he will meet you there. And your faith has to grow in that. And I know my faith had to grow. I struggled to trust the Lord. So every time I saw someone in need, I was like, Lord, my heart goes out to them. But you know, what about me and my family? What about me? If I don't, and I had to learn to trust the Lord. Here's the third reason I think people steal, and that is because they have a lack of love. It's a lack of love, because if you're taken from someone else, that means you love yourself more than you love them, because you now put them in a situation of need because you've taken from them. It's a lack of love for your fellow man. It literally is this my neighbor doesn't need it as much as I need it, or this person has more than enough and I need to have this. It's a lack of love, because if you truly love someone, if you've ever been robbed, anybody in the room ever been robbed? You ever been robbed? What were you thinking in that process? You were thinking, what kind of person would break into my home or take my car? Where are they at? And you automatically, you don't think that they have a need. You just think they're a wicked individual. And so for you and I to take from others, it really is a lack of love for them. Because we're not caring about them and their needs. We think our needs are more important than theirs, so we justify being able to steal from them. And again, it goes back to a poverty mentality. I want to take a moment, and one of the people that I love more than life has gone through this situation where she's been redeemed from this stealing thing. And she was willing to sit down with us and tell her story, and it took courage. Oh, she was so nervous. She's one of our top leaders in this church. And this thing that she's going to tell you has been recent. It wasn't 30 years ago or 20 years ago. And I want you to know something. Today, I'm more proud of her than I was 5 years ago when she first went to Bible school. I am more proud of her than I could even tell you. And so, without any further ado, listen to Aubriana's story.
My name is Aubriana Lopez, and I want to share with you just how the Lord has redeemed me of stealing. I was one of those people who thought I could never get caught, or that the theft prevention people had bigger fish to fry than me. And for years, that's the mindset I had. So the story goes, I went into Walmart and I didn't really need anything, but there were some things that I could have gotten or just that I wanted. And I didn't have money to pay for the rest of my items. So I was gonna be slick and I was just gonna throw things into the bag as I was scanning and checking out. And I went to exit and there they were. There was theft prevention. They were there to get me. And I had a clean shot, I had a clean exit. My car was in front, I had my keys ready to go. But I thought I could work my way out of it, and I thought I could just, you know, go on with my life. The cost of what was stolen was significant enough for them to call the police and have me arrested. For some reason, I was shocked. I didn't think that it could happen to me, and I didn't think this was somewhere I would get for myself. And so they booked me. I was in there for 24 hours and released after seeing a judge. It really filled me with a lot of shame and guilt. I got lawyers and they continued to tell me that I didn't have to tell anyone, it wasn't anyone's business, and I could completely just keep it to myself. I was scared of what would happen when my pastors found out. What would the consequences be? The matter could have been swept under the rug and nobody would have had to know unless they background checked me, which for getting kids ministry is always a possibility, but hiding it wouldn't have been truthful of me. And after talking with my older brother, who had turned his life around, he said that if my leadership was really who they presented and preached themselves to be, then I would be met with grace and with correction. And that's exactly what happened. So I got the courage and I went with my leadership. We sat down and I shared everything with them, what happened. And they loved me through it. There is so much value and acceptance of telling the truth and being truthful. And anything that the enemy was trying to put into my mind to hide it and cover up was completely debunked. And it was completely just removed from my mind. And they did everything to make sure that my spiritual walk with God was being cared for. See, I got caught and arrested for stealing. And we were gonna deal with that and we were gonna take care of that. But we were also gonna get down to the root issue, which was not living up to the expectations of making good money and providing and gifting those around me. I made really good money straight out of high school from quarantine. Most money I've ever made, like to this day. And when that kind of stopped coming in, it was hard to have the things that I wanted, but also take care of what I needed. And I didn't have that balance of both. So whatever I couldn't pay for, I would steal it. And that would reveal some struggles of my mom and I have that we had stepping into adulthood. And she was trying to push me into the right direction. And I wanted to please her, but we couldn't agree upon how things would happen. And being the baby of the family, the last child, I was very much protected and there wasn't room for me to do much without being in the light. And so I would hide a lot of things. A lot of people in my personal life, they didn't understand why I submitted to this style of correction, but I trusted my leadership and I trusted their discernment from God in handling the situation. Not once was I spoken down to, not once was I shamed or condemned by my leadership. So in the end, I ended up paying over $2,000 to deal with the case, to take theft classes, and I spent 25 collective hours in community service, and I spent time in courtrooms, and I couldn't get a decent job until this case was dismissed. And I had missed multiple days of work because I was in jail, which made me be placed on a probation at work, which cut my money even more in a time that I was struggling with already what I was making there. And so God opened the perfect doors for me because I let him do what he wanted to do in my struggles. And it's because I knocked down my own pride and I let the Lord deal with me. And it's hard. It's hard to let the Lord deal with you and it's hard to take correction, but you need it. And I'm doing far better in allowing him to deal with that than where I could have been. In Psalms, it says to share our story when we have been redeemed. And this is something that is nerve-wracking, but when we share what God has done, we encourage others. And so that was something that really marked me, and it was something that really got me through sharing my story. God has redeemed me, and he can redeem you too.
Come on, let's give it up for Aubriana. That's who I want ministering to your kids.
Yeah.
Not someone without troubles, someone who has been redeemed from their sin nature, from their sin habits. In fact, she's right now ministering to your junior high kids right now here in the back, and then she's going to jump in the car and go minister to the junior high kids over at Mansfield, because she's a woman of God, and we all have our struggles, and we all have our sin habits that we must be redeemed from. And I'm telling you, I love her and respect her more than most of the preachers that I've sat with in the green rooms that have big ministries. Why? Because she faced her sin. She submitted to those in her life that would help her. And she's now walking in the redemption of being delivered from a life of stealing. And she said, I was a have not. And so if everyone else had stuff and I didn't have the money for it, I would just take it. And she said, and I lived a life of secrecy. And to be free from that life of secrecy is what I desire for each and every one of you. So let me just talk to you a little bit. If stealing has become a part of your life and it's a habit in your life, let me just talk to you a little bit about the redemption process. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, where literally the word of the Lord tells us, gives us a process about being redeemed from this habit of sinfulness in reference to stealing. He says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer. We're in Ephesians 4 and 28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. This is Ephesians. Paul is writing this to the church. He's not writing this to a bunch of wicked people who don't know God, who don't want God. He's writing it to a group of people who love God and are a community of believers like us at Hill City. This could easily be Hill City chapter 4, verse 28. And he's writing that because there's those amongst them that are still struggling with their sinful old ways. They've been marked by their old ways of sin. It's affecting them. It's affecting people around them. I've been in churches where you were scared to death to leave your purse and go up to the altar or leave your phone sitting on the chair because somebody in that church is going to steal it. I pray all the time, oh God, don't let a Christian find my phone if I lose it. I pray all the time, Lord, let a lost person who feels conviction find it, and so they'll give it back. Christians will be like, thank you, Jesus. I've been believing for a phone like this. Hallelujah. And Paul is writing to Christians and saying, stop it. Stop stealing. So he gives us 3 points here, if you will. Let's break them down. The first thing he teaches us to do, number one, is steal no longer. Those who've been stealing must steal no longer. He's telling us, make an active understanding of your will. I will steal no more. I will make a decision not to steal any longer. I'm not going to take from my job. I'm not going to cheat the time clock. I'm making a conscious decision. I'm going to change that habit in my life by making a conscious decision. I'm not that person. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of God, and I'm going to obey the word of the Lord even if I don't like it, even when I'm tempted, even when I'm struggling. I'm going to obey. Make a decision to steal no longer. Change your identity and own your bad habits. That's basically what he's saying with that first statement. Own it. I have a problem with stealing. I have a problem with thinking that I don't have enough that everybody else has. The problem is FOMO. I'm looking at what everybody else has online, and I don't have that. And so I need to get ahead. I need to grab a hold of this. He's saying, literally, stop it. Steal no longer. In 2013, some of you may know the story. Joseph Randall signed to play with the Cowboys as a great professional football player. He signed a 4-year contract in 2013 for $2.3 million. $2.3 million in 2013. And October 13th of 2014, so just a year later, Randall was arrested at Dillard's department store in Frisco, and then later released on bond for a Class B theft of men's underwear and cologne valuing under $500. He's a millionaire who is still stealing. Why? Because it became his identity. It just became the urge, and he moved on it. Just like he had always done. When he didn't have any money, he would steal. And now that he had money, you'd say, well, you got money. Because that's the lie. Once I get all I need, I'll stop taking from others. But you never do. Why? Because it becomes a part of who you are. And I'm looking at you today and telling you, you are not a thief. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You do not need it. Leave. You know what the number one thing to be stolen from retail stores are? Fingernail polish. Fellas, I'm tired of it. You need to stop it, all right? Each and every one of us know what it is, even as a kid, to steal some little piece of candy off the shelf or something like that. But listen, we are God's people, and he tells us, do not steal. We want to be redeemed from stealing. Everybody say amen. Here's the second thing he teaches us to do that'll fix this whole thing and get us in this redemption process, and that is we should work. Work with our own hands. We should work. And I'm telling you, I am so proud. I pastor one of the hardest working group of people. You guys are hard workers. And sometimes because you're working so hard and you feel like you're still not getting ahead, you feel like you got to take shortcuts and take some things. Stop it. That's not you. You are not that person. Just keep working. And the Bible is very clear that he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You be faithful to him. You work hard. You give your tithes and offerings to the Lord. And he will make a way where there seems to be no way. He'll cause that little Honda Accord to go 300,000 miles. He'll cause that truck to not break down when everybody else's truck is breaking down. Are you with me? He'll stretch it. Everybody else on the block is getting robbed, and somehow your house is not getting robbed. He will cause you to walk in health when other people got stacks of bills, of medical bills. Why? Because you've been obedient to him and you walk in his ways, and he's redeemed you from this. And what a story you can tell for the next generation. In fact, the younger generation now think, and they've seen it online everywhere. You see it all throughout California. The snatch and grab, people are going into malls, taking stuff, and no one prosecuting them now. And then they think, well, it's okay. In fact, most of your young people know that if they steal something below a lower value, they will not be prosecuted. And that's what Aubriana had in her mind until she got busted. She thought, well, you know, they're not going to prosecute you for doing a little petty theft. And most of your young people know that. They spread that amongst each other. They talk about it all the time. And the mall here tells, the people who run the mall here in Cedar Hill were telling me, it's such a mess for us because young people come in, they'll just grab it and walk off. And it's not worth the time of the corporate to prosecute them and say they all know that there's a number by which if they steal below that value. But Frank, can I tell you something? God is keeping watch of that. God is who we serve. It doesn't matter if corporate's been good or bad. Doesn't matter if those people have more than enough. It is our own personal relationship with King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We want to be men and women of integrity, and we want to be redeemed from this poverty mentality that causes us to steal. And everybody said amen. Amen. Which brings us to the third thing that Paul teaches us to do. If you want to walk through redemption, first off, stop stealing. You steal no longer. Change your identity and say, that's not who I am. Number two, I'm going to work, and I'm going to say, Lord, whatever you bless me with the work of my hand, that's more than enough to provide for me and my wants, and I don't need to take from anything else. What I bring in as an income is more than enough for all my needs to be met. And then you move to the third piece of this whole process of redemption from stealing, and that is learn to give. This was the hardest for me, to give, because, again, my mentality was, I don't have enough to give. I don't have enough to help others. I don't have enough. I myself. And so I literally became like a hoarder. I had all these little things that I didn't even use, didn't even need, but I had gotten it. And you go look in your garage and see, do you really need 7 shovels? Like, what are you going to do with them? You got 7 shovels because you worked at a job site and someone left a shovel and you threw it in the back of your truck. Why do you, how many pair of shoes can you wear in a year? Like, so why do we do that? And I'm telling you, that's that mentality that has to be broken. And you start giving it, and you start giving it, and something starts happening. That redemption starts happening. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Be a giver. You say, man, that brother's in need. I can help with that. I've got a little something over here. Or I can go grab my friends, and I know that they've got something. We can share and give towards that. Once you start doing that, it breaks that whole thing about stealing. It breaks that whole poverty mentality. You start giving. And once I started giving, I'll never forget when the Lord asked me to give away one of our cars, and I told the devil, you stop lying to my mind. How dare you? I need this car. And the Lord said, no, that ain't the devil. That's me. And I was like, that ain't you. Because you would never ask me, the poor pastor, who gives my life to these sheep, these people. And they're all driving nice and fancy cars. And they got these nice houses. And Jamie and I are suffering for the kingdom. And maybe one day we'll have a mansion in heaven. I don't know if that's true. And you want me to give this little car away? I need this car. And the Lord said, give the car away. I said, I'm not doing it. And I went to a meeting. I was teaching at a church down in Waxahachie. They asked me to come in and help them with their leadership. And it was a Friday night, I think it was, and they did it at this wealthy person's home. And there were about 50, 60 people in this living room, their top leaders. And I'm in there teaching them on leadership and how to grow the church and how to minister to hurting people and how to make disciples. And when we were finished, they're like, "Pastor, you blessed us so much. Can we pray for you?" And I was like, "Absolutely." And so they got me in the circle and they all started praying for me. And them mamas in the faith, this little old gray-haired lady says, "Pastor, the word of the Lord says you need to stop rebelling against him and give that car away." I was like, "You got to be kidding me. Get away from me, little old lady." It was about 11:30 at night. I got in the car, started driving back to Cedar Hill, and I called Jamie. She answered the phone. "Hello." I was like, baby, wake up right now. Call so-and-so. Tell them we're giving them a car. She's like, "It's 11:30 at night." I said, "Baby, I got 30 minutes between Waxahachie and Cedar Hill. If you don't call right now and tell them we're giving that car, I will change my mind in the next 30 minutes. I'm struggling to obey the Lord. You just need to know." She's like, "Okay." So she texted the gal and she was like, "Thank you, Jesus. I've been believing for a miracle." I had to break that thing though. I had that poverty mentality. See, I'm a pastor. I wasn't stealing anymore, but I was stealing because I wasn't being obedient to give when God needed me to give. So I'm stealing from the kingdom business and what God needed to have done. Do you know why we have difficulty in our midst and people's needs aren't met? Because we're not being obedient. We're stealing from the kingdom plan. God wants to use us to help that person. And we're like, "Nah, I really need to hold on." How many cars can you have? How much do you really need? And can you imagine when we get free from this stealing thing? It's the power of redemption in this whole thing. There's this beautiful redemption moment with a man by the name of Zacchaeus. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 19. I'll just tell you the story for sake of time. And Jesus is coming into the city, and those of you that grew up in church and you did Sunday school, you heard the little song, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and wee..." I hated that song. Such thing as wee little men. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. The Lord said to him, "Zacchaeus, you come down, because I'm going to your house today." And so Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house. He's a tax collector. And if you don't understand about tax collectors, the Romans had conquered all of these people groups, but they allowed them to still keep their culture, but they taxed the wazoo out of them. And if you didn't pay your taxes, the Romans would come and literally take everything away from you. "Okay, you don't want to pay your taxes? We'll just take your house and throw you out, because we're the Romans. We're your conquerors, if you will." And what the Romans did to get the taxation from all the different people groups is they hired their own people group to take from the people's taxes. So in other words, the Jews had Jewish tax collectors. They worked for the Romans, and they took from the Jewish people. And most of these people were hated by the Jews because these tax collectors would take more than they needed to. They would overtax them. They would steal from them. And Zacchaeus was this man, and he was hated by that city. All the people in that city hated him. And Jesus comes to his house, and everyone's, all the Christian people, all the followers of God people are like, "How can he go in with that wicked mafia stealing thief of a guy who works for the government? You know all those suckers are stealing from us." And Zacchaeus, "Well, you know he took my brother's house away from him." "Did he really? Oh, yeah, I hate that guy." "Oh, are you serious?" "Yeah. Listen, I have egged his house. He didn't know. I hope I don't ever get caught." He got this whole thing going. Jesus is sitting at the table with Zacchaeus. And I imagine that Jesus is doing Jesus stuff. "You know, the Father loves you guys. And he's made a way. You don't have to live in sin anymore like that." And the Bible says that Zacchaeus just starts opening up. He goes, "Listen." He's convicted. He goes, "I'm going to give every half of what I own, I'm giving away to the poor." And he goes, "And anyone I've stolen from, anyone, I'll repay back four times as much. Anyone who wants to bring accusation against me, I can't even remember all the people I've stolen from, I'll give back to them 400% return. If I took $1,000, I'll give them $4,000 back in return. It's the greatest investment they could have ever made." And Jesus looks at him in this moment and says, "Salvation has come to this house today. redemption has happened. The glorious moment of this man realizing, I've been a thief. I've taken what I didn't need to take. I've overcharged. I've misappropriated my position of power. I think about all of our legislators and all the both Republicans and Democrats, and they're sitting there and they're on these committees, and then they're investing their money in stocks that they know are about to, because of this contract, and it makes me so mad that they're stealing like that, misappropriating their positions like that. But at the end of the day, let us be like Jesus, and let us not be stealers, but let us be givers. Let us not be takers, but let us be those who give and care and love others. And he says, that's the kingdom, and that's what a Christian looks like. And Zacchaeus had such deliverance in that moment, and I promise you, I can't wait to get to that man when we get to heaven and tell him, man, I'm so proud of you, buddy. He's a wee little man. And so I just can't wait till that moment. His time of redemption came, and the process of redemption transpired when he began to say, I'll give it back. I'll give away. Whatever I've done in stealing, I'll make restitution for it. Friend, can I tell you something? God did not make you to be a person who steals. He has the ability to provide for you above and beyond anything you can think or imagine. He will take care of you. When I was preparing for this, I came across this revival story. There in Belfast, there in Ireland in 1922, there was this revival where just everyday people started coming to the house of God and falling on their face and repenting. It was this revival that went all throughout the city of Belfast. It was phenomenal. And how they knew it was a true revival was because Belfast has a big shipping population of people who work the shipyards and that kind of stuff. That those that worked there in the shipyard, they began to bring back all the tools that they had stolen from the shipyard. The workers did. So many tools were brought back that they had been stealing over the years from all the employees who had this revival encounter with the Lord. So many of the tools were brought back that they had to build more buildings to take on all the tools that were being brought back. It's revival. When God really touches your heart, you stop being a taker and you start being a giver. You stop needing to steal from people and you want to be able to bless people and help people. And I'll summarize this message with just a little personal piece to it. We've been preparing this for weeks. And this past Friday, we were having people come over to take pictures and stuff because my daughter got married and they were going to do the wedding pictures at our house. And so I was in our little shop in my little shed where I keep the lawnmowers and stuff like that and chainsaws and that kind of stuff. And as I was walking through, I'm praying over this message. I'm praying, Lord, give me revelation. Help me. And Lord, if you see anything in me. And as I walked past, I have 5 yellow 5-gallon gas cans. 5 of them. I have 1 lawnmower and I have 5 of them. And I was looking at that, I was like, man, I got 5 of those things. And the Lord said, yeah, where did you get those from? I was like, oh, that's right. When Brother Ricky was over here 1.5 years ago, and he loaned me his piece of machinery, he brought all of his gas cans, and God, he forgot those here. And the Lord said, you a thief. Because you haven't given them back to him, and they don't belong to you. So, Brother Ricky, today after church, I have all your gas cans ready for you to get them back. I didn't purposefully steal them, but they're not mine. Are you with me today? And they need to be returned to their rightful owners. Come on, are you with me? Stand with me all across the room. Let us be redeemed from a life of stealing. Amen? I know you think this message is for somebody else, but you better check your garage. Just saying. You better check your garage. You better check that time clock from last week.